This is Jeff Davis with the Alignment Podcast, where we explore sales and marketing alignment strategy for B2B businesses. Make sure to visit jeffdavis2.com for all things alignment. Now let's talk about how to create togetherness.
Today's guest is Stephen Norman. Stephen is the author and founder of Growth Acumen. He draws from his over 20 years of executive experience in Australia and Asia Pacific to assist tech and entrepreneurial companies in implementing world-class sales practices. In our conversation, we discuss the importance of customer experience in getting and keeping customers, how a referral selling strategy can significantly increase growth, the fact that alignment trumps strategy when it comes to being a predictor of success, and how to know if it's time to pursue an alignment effort for your organization. With that said, let's jump into the episode.
Steve, welcome to the program.
Great to be here, Jeff. Thanks for the invitation.
Absolutely. I'm happy that you're here. I think that you are going to help us think through some really great growth strategies and also talk about this idea of potentially the sales funnel, the traditional sales funnel, not being as accurate as it has been in the past. So before we do that, for those that are not aware of you and your work, why don't you tell us who you are and how you have come to be so passionate about sales and marketing alignment?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've got a long background in sales. For the last 25 years, I've run fairly large sales teams across Asia. I worked for Dell for 13 years. I worked in Singapore, in Korea, out of Australia. Did a lot of work in India and China, managing different large sales teams across the region. More recently, I was the head of Targus for Asia and managed the whole business for Targus across Asia based out of Hong Kong. I've always had a passion for sales and sales best practices. And, it's really drawn me into the current role that I have as consulting on these topics because, so much is happening and so much has changed and there's a real need out there and to help organizations modernize their sales processes.
I always like having guests outside of the U.S. because I think it does give us a more global perspective. Are there anything in particular, and we don't have to spend a lot of time on this, but that you see that are different between the U.S., maybe Asia, and other countries? Is anybody doing it better? Or are we all about the same pace? Like, what does that look like from a global perspective?
I know quite a lot about, the comparison between here and say the US operations, and the US by its nature has much more scale and it's a more homogenous, large market. So you tend to have, the scope to have a lot more specialization, if you like. Whereas over here, you're attacking a lot of smaller markets with smaller teams, and you don't really have the scale for the specialization in some ways, right? So if someone's so you're talking about like your sales enablement and the maybe the roles within sales enablement can get very granular. You have all these different specialists for generating content, for tracking leads, for doing this, for doing that. Yeah, over here, that might all be one person or part of a person. So you have to choose the right level of complexity that gives you a good result, for the size of the market that you're working in.
Okay. No, it's good to know. I always like to add that perspective into the conversation. So one of the things that I like about you really specializing in growth strategies is I feel a lot of the B2B businesses are just really, especially those hyper growth organizations, are just really focused on tactical execution and sometimes don't have the chance to step back for 2 seconds and realize, are we doing the right growth activity? So give us a broad idea of for a B2B businesses in today, cross markets, what are those growth strategies or growth levers that we have at our disposal to help us move the business forward? What are those big bucket things that we can be doing?
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of these, the B2B sales profession and sales leaders are just under so much pressure these days. And you're right that they don't really have the you know, they've got so much complexity, so much pressure on them, and the market's changing so much. And, you know, are they really spending enough time, you know, thinking about what's happening with their buyers and their customers? And we know buyer behavior's changed, and a lot of sales organizations are still operating the same way. So it's really important for them to be able to carve time out and, you know, look at what's happening, look at the changes that are happening with buyers, and, you know, craft and model their organization, you know, appropriately to address the new buying journey, if you like. Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm an executive team or a CEO and I have to look at where am I investing time, you know, if it's increasing, you know, the number of sales reps, is it putting effort toward customer success? What are, in your mind, maybe the top two or three things that you feel will have the biggest ROI for any businesses that's really trying to turn the corner, so to say, as far as growth?
Yeah, I think CX is a big one. And we see a lot of initiatives around CX in a lot of, you know, the smarter organizations. Because we're not just looking now at winning a deal or pushing a deal through the funnel like we used to do. And it was very much a push type of thing. These days, we want to grab hold of a customer and we want to keep them and we want to expand our relationship with our customers. And so we really have to do that first. And then we need to leverage that. So the second thing is to implement a referral selling program. You know, I think that these are the really, you know, the two biggest things you can do at a strategic level, you know, to realign your, you know, your sales and marketing effort. Because we know referral selling, you know, is just so much more efficient, so much more cost effective than, you know, trying to win cold customers all the time.
And help us understand exactly when you say referral selling program, what exactly does that mean?
Well, first off, we want to make our customers advocates for us. So like I said, it's not enough just to win a deal or, you know, to make the quarter's target. We want to win the deal and we want that customer, you know, through our CX initiatives to really become an active advocate for us in whatever industry they're in, and refer us and be a strong reference for us into other similar organizations. And when you get that engine going, you know, leads come much more, you know, much more easily, your close rates improve, your pipeline improves. So it's really a whole cultural shift in the organization towards mm-hmm. focusing on referrals.
I think that leads me to one of the challenges that we have, especially sales professionals, going after new clients, going after new customers versus taking care of existing clients and growing them. Now, we all know, and I'm probably preaching to the choir, that it's easier to grow customers that we already have. It's also cheaper, but there also has to be some balance of getting new business, getting new blood into the organization. How do you, as an executive team, balance having your salespeople, having your marketing folks gearing their efforts toward new acquisition versus, you know, you can call it customer success or growing those existing customers? How do you figure out what that balance is?
Yeah, it's a good point. And, you know, I think it's changed a lot. It was very fashionable for a while to have separate teams, right? A farming team and a hunting team, if you like. You know, one team focused on managing our existing customers, another team focused on new customers. But I think there's a lot of organizations have shifted away from that and really focus on, you know, managing the customer through that whole journey, you know, from the time they get acquired, you know, bringing them into the organization and having some real continuity of that relationship. And, you know, the concept of referral selling is, we'll get a lot of growth and we'll get a lot of new customers and new accounts by taking care of our existing customers. So that will become a growth engine, that referral engine. Of course, there's a portion of our effort will go to, you know, going into new markets, you know, going into colder accounts, but we should be able to get the majority of our growth through referral selling.
Interesting. So your proposal is then the lion's share of our revenue should be coming from existing clients, and whether that be upselling or cross-selling or whatnot.
Yeah, and I'm saying referrals from those customers into other customers in our target market.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah,
just referrals.
Okay. So internally in there, or expect. Of course, we want to expand in that account fully.
Yep.
And fully exploit that, but we really want that customer to become an advocate. You know, if we're really strong with one bank, and you know, we turn that the CIO of the bank into an advocate for us, that's going to be great for us going into two or three more banks.
And I think that also has implications on the way that you approach a new client, because if you go into them thinking that you want to turn them not only into a client or a customer, but also an advocate, that will affect the customer experience, because we want to make sure that they enjoy the onboarding process and that they're satisfied and they're successful in order for them to then, as you said, very, you know, straightforwardly, to tell other folks within their vertical or their industry or whatnot that they should be working with us, et cetera.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to it. And, you know, it sort of varies by buyer and by customer. And what we want to tap into is what's important to them. You know, what's important to that buyer? And that's how we make them an advocate. You know, are they interested in getting promoted? Are they interested in saving costs? Are they interested in improving their own public profile, you know, outside of the company? Are they interested in sitting on different technology boards or sitting on a customer advisory board? You, these are all activities that sales and marketing can work together on to turn a customer into an advocate. You know, are they interested in attending different summits and seminars and getting, you know, inside information on things? You know, what turns them on? And that's what will turn them into an advocate.
I like that, because I was having a conversation with the sales professional. We were talking about the ways of helping salespeople understand how they can better leverage marketing. And one of the topics that came up is that it's much easier for marketing to create educational programs and ask the market for questions and educate. And so I love what you said. Part of that is, if we're trying to engage with folks and we find out that they want to be seen as a market leader, how does marketing leverage that knowledge in order to better engage with them and then help the salesperson get in there with those type of programs? So it's that kind of tag teaming effort that I think goes back to this whole idea of this alignment between sales and marketing. Because as a sales professional, I may not be able to execute getting them in front of thought leaders, but as a marketing team, maybe that's something we can work in together. So I think that's actually really, really nice. I like that example. It brings it to light.
Great.
So what I want to shift to, I read an article that you published on LinkedIn fairly recently about the, I'm just calling it the new sales funnel. I don't know if that's the right terminology, but we'll go with that. And so I've seen a couple of different people writing about it. I believe, and I don't want to take words out of your mouth, the premise basically is that the traditional sales funnels that we all have come to know and love, which basically is a reverse pyramid, leads go on the top, customers come out the bottom, is pretty inaccurate now because the buyers change so much. I wanted to just ask you, from your perspective, why is that model or template, whatever you want to call it, no longer really accurate about what's going on today?
Yeah, well, things have changed a lot in B2B sales, and the buyer's behavior has changed a lot in the last 10 years, and I'd say even more rapidly in the last 3 or 4 years, you know, where the buyer is not engaging with sales early in the sales process anymore. So buyers are actually actively avoiding salespeople, and they're discovering needs, they're researching solutions through lots of different ways. You know, before, maybe they needed to talk to a few vendors early on in their process to get industry information. Now, they don't need to do that now. They're going to be doing that through the web, through seminars, through their peer group connections. So that's a major change. And so the salesperson is only getting engaged when the buying process is maybe 60 to 80% already completed. So that's a big driver.
So sales folks are definitely getting in toward the latter part of that decision-making process. So what then, and I think that most people would agree with that, that's pretty agreed across the board. So in your mind, what do we have to change when we look at the sales funnel? What is the fundamental change so that we can have a better roadmap or GPS, whatever you want to call it? Because I don't believe it's a prescriptive process anymore. And people don't just follow a linear path of, hi, my name is such and such, and here's my product, and here are the benefits, features, and like, that just doesn't happen anymore. So let's just put that out to rest, that that's not, doesn't happen. But I think there is value in having a framework so we can have some general idea of what we're trying to achieve. So what is
different? Like it shouldn't be happening, but when you actually go into organizations and you look at how they're running their pipeline, how they're running their sales meetings, how they're running their sales activity, there's a big portion still got this top down. Okay, we'll make 100 calls, we'll get 10 appointments, we'll generate 3 leads, we'll generate X pipeline. A lot of them still have that. But you're putting that aside, if we accept, the buyer's not engaging with sales early, but they are active, right? They are researching. They're looking for information. They're attending seminars. This is where our marketing folks come in, right? And we really want the marketing folks very engaged in identifying who these buyers are, identifying their needs, identifying where they're getting their information, identifying what sort of information resonates with them, generating insight into those buyers, and then creating custom content, putting our company in front of those potential buyers, where they're looking, so that, by the time they're ready to buy and ready to engage with sales, they're already warm towards our solution or our company.
Okay. So then it sounds like to me then the marketing organization is playing a larger role in the, we'll just call it the sales funnel or whatnot. How has the relationship between sales and marketing, because of this kind of new, we'll call it buyer's journey, how has that changed?
Yeah, well, I think marketing and sales need to be much more integrated. In the past, maybe you had a sales team and a marketing team, and they would come together from time to time. But marketing had its own agenda, was running its own activities. Sales was running their activities. And you'd say it was maybe a friendly, there wasn't any conflict in the relationship, but it wasn't as integrated as it needs to be now. And we really need sales and marketing to be looking at the same data, to be looking at having the same objectives, having the same goals, down to a very specific level. These are the accounts that we're going after this quarter or over the next 6 months. Mm-hmm. These are the buyers we've identified. These are the ones we need to identify. This is the content we're going to generate to attack those buyers. Sales team, here's what you should be doing with that content. It's a very, very integrated at a tactical and strategic level. Daily activity, weekly activity, monthly activity, where the teams are really working together and tracking progress.
So one of the questions I'd love to ask you and get your perspective, one of the reasons I created this forum was to help us kind of build out frameworks and really think about strategies to help B2B leaders just be more effective with their time. You said it at the top of our conversation, it's just there's so much coming at them that they don't a lot of times have time to breathe and really think about, are we doing the right activities? And so as I have conversations with folks like you yourself and do research and read, I try to formulate in my mind, like, what are those big buckets that we can think of when we're looking at, aligning sales and marketing to drive revenue. And so the three that keep coming to me as I kind of look at all of the strategies and texts that are out there are, one, we need to take a system approach to our business. And what I mean by system approach, I mean sales and marketing together represent a revenue engine that is customer centric. And so we no longer look at, leads flowing from marketing to sales, but we look at going to the market together as one. I think that's one kind of area that we need to clean up. The second one I think is there is a need for a feedback loop between sales and marketing. A lot of times I wouldn't even call it feedback. There's just information flowing from marketing to sales, but a lot of times that information is not getting back from sales to marketing. Which I think is critical because we all know there's great strategies and plans, and then you put it into market, it completely blows up. And if you don't know what's really going on, you'll continue to do the things that don't work. So that would be my second one, I believe. And then my third one is the idea of having aligned goals. That one to me seems the most obvious, but I think, and you said it probably about 5 minutes ago, that if you go to most, I just wouldn't say most, but a lot of B2B companies, the marketing team, the sales teams have different goals. So they're incentivized differently. And so there's no wonder that they aren't acting in the same way because their goals are different. So I want to get kind of your thoughts on kind of those three big buckets when I look at this idea of, as an executive, where do I need to allocate resources or my thought processes? I feel like a lot of them fall into those three. But I get your opinion on that one.
Yeah, no, I think they're good. I think they're those three areas are right, and they're simple, they're straightforward. But that doesn't mean it's easy to execute that. And you almost have to look at this like, a proper change management approach, and you just can't take anything for granted. So, okay, you've got the strategy right. You've got these three key things are going to help us grow, get more growth, get sales and marketing aligned, make our customers happy, right? So the strategy is good. We need to spend time on alignment of the strategy. So this is where it falls down a lot. And while the headline strategy sounds great, how does it really work, and how should it work at the coalface, at the ground level? And this is where we need to get input from our sales managers, marketing managers, salespeople, you know, the marketing folks on the ground, on specifically how we're going to execute this and really thrash that out. There may be other folks involved, like IT or operations. We need to pull those folks in. So we need to get, you know, a lot of fingerprints on the actual final tactical plan. So there's quite a commitment there, and it does take some time. And this is where the leader has to be very committed to this, because he's going to have folks in planning meetings, you know, for a couple of hours a week, you know, trying to sort some of this out. But it just doesn't work. You know, something coming from the top down, okay, you guys need to align together and you need to work on this and that. You know, people go back to their desk and they tend to do what they've done before, or they move a little bit towards that. We really need to get them involved in this alignment phase. And then once you've got the alignment, we need to go into execution. And, you know, when something's a new initiative, if there isn't a lot of support and a lot of focus, the new initiative can fail because it's going to hit barriers. It's going to hit some brick walls. So we really need that commitment to follow through on the execution. And when we get some breakthroughs, when we have some wins, we need to make a lot of noise about those.
Yeah.
And, you know, celebrate and, you know, really embed that new process in.
And I've said time and time again, that all needs to come from the CEO. And I have heard that repeatedly from other professionals and guests, that this no longer is about, you know, sales leadership or marketing leadership. It has got to come from the CEO. So it just is what it is. But last question, as we end our conversation, B2B CEO executives, what is the tipping point at which that they know it's time to invest resources in alignment effort? I think a lot of people may be generating revenue, may be doing okay, but what is that tipping point when you know, like, hey, we need to have a conversation about this whole alignment issue because we're facing XYZ, or XYZ is happening. What is that?
Yeah, well, I think we saw, you know, a lot of B2B organizations progressively recognizing they've got a problem. And what we've seen is, unfortunately, fewer and fewer B2B salespeople making their targets in the last few years across the board. And when companies start seeing those sort of signs that fewer of their salespeople are making target, that it's hard to generate new pipeline, that they're struggling to retain customers, or struggling to acquire enough new customers. You know, I think that these are all warning signs that they're at a tipping point, and they need to react quickly because maybe their competitors have already moved on to the new customer journey and the new sales and marketing alignment and are starting to eat their lunch. And in B2B, it happens a little bit slowly at first because it's generally, you know, customers are locked in. They may have a contract, or, you know, that it may not be so easy to switch suppliers. But once it starts happening, it can almost be too late. So I think they need to be very aware of those early warning signs.
Yeah, so I like those. I'm glad that you addressed those. And so some of the things you talked about, those early warning signs of, you know, maybe alignment effort being necessary. It's just sales folks continually not being able to meet quota. And then obviously the stalling pipeline revenue or revenue growth in the pipeline, just not being able to acquire new customers. So I think those are good. Well, Steve, thank you so much for your insights. I really appreciate you sharing some ideas around growth strategies that are available to B2B businesses, as well as this idea of the sales funnel changing and how we need to adapt. And hopefully our sales and marketing leaders that are listening got a lot out of the conversation.
Thank you, Jeff. It's been a real pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the episode. Don't forget to visit me at jeffdavis2.com and follow me on Twitter at jeff_davis2. Did today's conversation resonate with you? Then share with your colleagues to help the Alignment Podcast grow. Join us for the next episode where we continue to talk about how to create togetherness.